chapter 3 tonight, if you got your Bible. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Exodus 3 and verse number 1. I want you to look at that verse tonight, then we'll say a few things that might encourage you tonight. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." I want to preach. You've got to help me tonight just a little while on the BDD. I want to preach on that tonight. BDD. I want to preach on backside of the desert degree. Amen. That's what Moses got. He got a backside of the desert degree. Hey, everybody's going to have to get that if they're going to go anywhere for God. Now, I will say tonight, God's schooling is a whole lot more important than any other school you'll go through.
Right.
And that takes time. It takes God. It don't take God a long time. And it takes us time for God to bring us to the place that we need to be, that we really can be used of God. Old man of God said one time, he said, after God breaks you, that's when he can really use you.
Right.
And I believe that. I believe everything God uses because he broke it. How the Lord Jesus gave his body. He broke the bread, which is a picture of his body on the cross. Thank God. And I'm telling you, when that body of Christ was broken, the blood was shed, it opened the fountain up for any sinner to come and be saved. And brother, it changed us tonight because he gave himself. And I'm going to tell you this, if you're going to go anywhere with God, you're going to have a BDD. Amen. I know we live in a day of so many degrees, men so gloat in what degree they got. I'm not belittling the fact that men need to be honored tonight where honors do, and men gave themselves to the study of maybe medicine or some subject, friend, that they've studied and they've attained maybe a degree in that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's two degrees everybody needs, and one's a BA degree. Amen. That means born again. Amen. Everybody needs that. And I'm going to tell you this, you need a BDD degree, backside the desert degree. You know, Moses, he tried to deliver the Israelites a long time before God wanted him to. One day he walked out and saw a Hebrew and an Egyptian wrestling, and they were striving against one another, and Moses tried to deliver them right then. He killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. He didn't think nobody had seen it. In fact, the next day two Hebrews was a fighting, and brother, he got between them, and they said, "You going to do me like you did that Egyptian yesterday?" He knew that'd been known. Then Pharaoh got after him, and Moses fled, and he ended up there fighting God in Midian. And brother, he joined up. He sat there on the well, helped them water, thank God, the flocks there. And there he met, thank God, his wife to be. And Jethro, of course, was the priest. And brother, he married this man's daughter. And he became the shepherd of Jethro's flock. Every day Moses, thank God, looked after them. Get this now, 40 years he's in this place that God, no doubt, is teaching him, going back to the mountain of God. And I'd hear some Baptist preacher say to him, "Well, Moses, why don't you get out there and do something?" Well, Moses can't do nothing. God commissions him to go do something. Amen. I've said there's been many people that have missed God trying to do it in their own strength like Moses did. Instead of waiting on God to commission him. And for 40 years, Moses, thank God, just went to the backside of the desert. I guess he could probably write a book. Thank God on them 40 years. But he never listened. Thank God, I don't know what happened in them days. But one day out there, praise God, he went looking for God, but God showed up in a bush, and the fire burned. Thank God the bush wasn't consumed, and God was in the bush, and that bush was a picture of them Israelites down there in Egypt, that they were under the fiery trials, under Pharaoh, but they had had not been consumed. Amen. And God said to Moses through there, He said, I've called you. Take your shoes off your own holy ground. He saw the presence of God and he hid his face. And God started commissioning him, telling him that he would be the one, thank God, to go down there and be God's messenger unto Pharaoh to get the Israelites out. But I'll tell you what, God had to get him ready before he'd ever give him a commission. You know what, a lot of times we think we are, but we're really not. I'll tell you, it's better not to think so than to think so, and you're not ready. Amen. I'll tell you, when I was a young preacher, I thought I was ready. Amen. But then preaching now a while, sometimes I wonder. Amen. I tell you, I don't know as much as I thought I did. And you grow older and you'll say that too. That's right. And God has to work on you and bring you to a place in your life that you'll listen to Him. And I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll do like Moses did. Hey, friend, you'll still try to give excuses why you can't do it. I'll tell you, Moses used all kind of excuses why he couldn't go. But God didn't take a one of them. He told him to go. It's God's choice. And God's ordained man to go. Hey, had to get back side of the desert for God to talk to him. And I'm going to tell you, friend, tonight, if you want to have God in your life, you got to learn to listen to Him. Thank God that's you and Him. And do everybody good to get along with Him. And get out of the rest of this world. And get a good degree of thank God with God. And get some experience in your own life tonight. And quit living off everybody else. Amen. That's right. That's where we're at in the church. Everybody's waiting on somebody else to do it. That's right. Amen. I was looking at Genesis this week. And there was a famine down there. You know, Joseph said it was going to be a 7-year, plenty of 7-year famine. And Jacob and them down there in Canaan, and they was corn was scarce down there. And he looked at them boys. He said, what y'all going to do? Sit around and look at one another for a while. He said, what you need to do is get down there and get some corn for us. We're going to perish. Amen. And that's what the church has become today. We're looking at one another and saying, I wish Danny would go down there and get some corn. I'm hungry. I wish preacher would go down there and get some corn. I'm hungry. I wish Brother Robert would go down and get some corn. I'm hungry. Hey, friend, thank God. Don't wait on them to go get the corn. You got to starve to death waiting on me to bring you something. I'm trying to give you something when you come here on Sunday and Wednesday. But listen, you eat more than that, don't you? I mean, you just don't eat physical food on Sunday and Wednesday, do you? Hey, God, go out to the car and get back back on the backside of the desert with God and let God give you something. I tell you, he had a real experience here. He wasn't looking for, but I tell you what, he had a life-changing experience. There's something that happened to him that day when he saw that burning bush that he turned aside that he never had seen before. He had been there 40 years and God said, you're the one to go to get them children of Israel out. And I'm going to tell you what Moses was. He was scared to death. Amen. Get this, he wasn't scared today he buried that Egyptian. But he was scared then. He was scared to death. You say, why? Well, I think one reason was he knew where he had to go. Same reason Jonah was. He knew where he was going. And I'm going to tell you what, if you read the history of the Egyptians, they did. Hey, friend, my friend punished an individual for my friend going against what they believed in, it was a severe punishment. He knew that there was some dangers there in going back, and they, that name probably still rung in some people's ears. And I know at that time that, that one my friend had done died, and God waited to that time, but here's 40 years, Moses left when he was 40, now he's 80 now, and God comes to him and says, Moses, you go down. And he said, they won't believe me when I go down there. See, he's been doubting God. And he said, who did I tell him that sent me? He said, when you get down there, tell him, I am that sent you. Amen. And he said, that'll do. Just go down there. And Moses said, well, Lord, he said, you know, I can't talk. I'm slow as peach. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, throw it down the ground. He had a rod in his hand. And he threw it down. It turned into a serpent. Amen. And he said, reach it by the tail. It turned back into a rod. And God says, I'll be with you. I'm just proven myself. Thank God that I'll be with you. You know the record. How he stuck his hand in his bosom and he brought it out and God showed the change in it. And then he said, throw some water on the land and it turned to blood. And he was just showing Moses that he was with him. Amen. And he could count on God. And them signs, thank God, followed. Amen. The Jews required a sign. And he proved to Moses that he had, thank God, what it took. If he'd go, God would be with him. And Moses said, Lord, I just can't talk that good. I mean, listen tonight. How many of you said that to God? Well, Lord, I can't do that. Hey, friend, he said, am I? Who made your mouth? Amen. I tell you, God did. You can do it. If you'll do it tonight, God's not looking for somebody that's got elegant speech. He's looking for somebody that'll obey what he says and believe him and trust God to touch him and use him. But tonight, friend, God's not looking for tonight for what ability you have. God's looking for somebody that would be available to do what God says to do, and he'll bless them. Amen. You go sit there till you die and you say, oh, I can't do it. I'd fail. I'd rather be a success. Thank God at trying and a failure at nothing. Amen. That's right. That's where most people are tonight in the church. Oh, I can't do it. Let so and so go do it. I can't do it. I mean, elegant. I'm not an orator, Lord. I mean, you've heard me talk. You know I can't talk that good. Amen. He got scared about going. He's making all them excuses to God. I was reading them today and he said, well, I'm slow of speech. And he said, I can't talk that good. And God said, who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf? Dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I of the Lord? He said, go and I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. If you recognize this, and God said, over there, he said, in the anger, the Lord was kindled against Moses. God got mad at him. Amen. That wasn't but two times God got angry at Moses. And that was then, and when he smote that rock, amen, twice, and God told him not to. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. But this is one time that God got angry with him because God commissioned him, told him to go, and Moses wouldn't go. He just wouldn't obey God. And God finally had to send Aaron with him. And listen, Aaron, the way I look at this thing, Moses hadn't seen Aaron in 40 years. I mean, it don't say he had. Hey, God, it said Aaron met him in the way. Amen. And he kissed him, brother. He knew what God had put in his heart. But God just sent Aaron along with him. Hey, God, to be a help to him. It wasn't Aaron's calling. It was Moses' calling. God raised up Moses for that. And I'm going to tell you what, nobody else can do what you're supposed to do. I can't do what you're supposed to do. You can't do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong in this hair. The whole body's not functioning, doing what they're supposed to do. And they want somebody else to do it. And that's not how we raise a generation. We've done everything for them. And when God tells them to do something, they want somebody else to do it. Amen. That's what's happening in this hour. Amen. That's exactly right. And they met, and then Moses got down there at the end. God says, I'm going to kill you. You ever figured that out? I mean, that's beyond my... I mean, God's done commissioned him. God told him to go. And they get down at the end, and God says, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he was a covenant breaker. That boy hadn't been circumcised. And God says, you're not going to go down there and deliver my children while you got one in your house that's not been circumcised. And you know the record there. His wife circumcised. I wonder about his wife. Some of the things she even said. She caught over there in the book of God. She even said this to Moses. She said this to him. It said, Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And he let him go. And then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now, hey, friend, can I say this tonight? She apparently didn't have some of the same beliefs this man had. Because, listen, God told that Hebrew, thank God, when that boy was born on the eighth day, he was to circumcise him. And that was a covenant between God and the Jews. Amen. That's why I believe when God told over there in the book of God, when Joseph finally, I've been reading that this week, it's amazing to me how these boys, I mean, his brothers came and for 20 years they hadn't seen their brother. Potiphar, and here's Joseph. Thank God, sir, the governor of the land. They come, he's giving them corn, putting money in their sack. Ain't going back, and he talked rough to them, you know, at first. Ask them about the welfare of their father and all this. And they go back. They come back to him while one of the brothers is locked up there. He's got to take Benjamin back, and you know the record. And here they keep standing for him. They don't know Esther's brother. Amen. They've sold him in the slavery. Amen. Sold him there, and he'd been put in the Ishmaelite's hands, sold in Egypt, now Potiphar's house. He's in the prison now for 2 years because he didn't do nothing wrong, but God put him in there. Why? For what I'm preaching on, getting God's schooling. Amen. He come out, interpreted a dream. Pharaoh put him in the second in line in charge. Here their family comes. They don't know it's Joseph. He's preserving their life. He knew God sent him there. And you know what? They still felt guilty about it. But he kept telling them, God put me here for a great deliverance. And you know one thing? They did not know who he was. And then one day he couldn't keep from telling them. He told them, listen to this. He told them all to get out of the house. Amen. Every one of them to get out of the house, but the Hebrews. And Joseph looked at that crowd and said, I'm Joseph. What do you think they felt, son? We done been here coming up. That's our brother. That's our brother. We sinned against him. Son, I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost come around in the holy power. I'll tell you the first thing the Holy Ghost will say, you're a sinner. But thank God there's a Savior. That's right. That's what Joseph was to him. He's a Savior. Thank God. He didn't bring up their sin. He told them that God had sent him. Amen. They's the one that felt guilty of the sin. Joseph didn't never bring up their sin. Even after Jacob died, they said, oh, he's going to kill us now. That daddy's gone now. He said, no, God sent me here to take care of y'all. And the fact of it was, see, when I believe this. I've done a little bit of reading on it. Joseph, when he come out, what did he do? He shaved. The Egyptians were shaving people, brother. That's right. His everybody's had them beards, brother. That's right. Amen. That's right. Aaron talked about Aaron's beard and them beards of them men. And listen to me. Get this here. When they sold him, I think he was 17 years old, and now he became governor when he was 30, right? And then after that 7 years, that's when they come. I think it was 2 years after the famine, maybe they started coming to him, and he had to be in his 30s when they came. So they hadn't seen him in 20 years. Thank God. And I like what it says. When they came, he spake rough to them. Is that not what the Holy Ghost does in reproving us? Thank God he lets us know, amen, that we're not right with God. But I'm glad God don't never leave us here. He brings us a salvation. There's a great deliverer. And praise God, brother. They went and got their, thank God, their daddy after that. Loaded up the wagons, brought him back. Gave him the best land. Amen. I'm just saying this tonight. God's school's a whole lot better than any school you'll go to. The trials you go through, the testings you go through, the hardships you go through. Hey, God, what did old Joseph say? He said, when you go back after daddy and Pharaoh sent him back, he said, see that you don't fall out by the way. Amen. He said, I won't see him again. Thank God. I'll tell you, friend, tonight, are you listening to me? The best schooling you got's when you go through things in life and you learn to trust God and he teaches you that book and he gives you stuff from heaven and you don't have to wait on somebody else to tell you. It's all right, but thank God for them things God tells you himself. And God had to speak to Moses back here. Just him and God had to get Moses to go where he wanted him to go. I'm just telling you this tonight. It's better to have a BDD degree than any degree man could give you because that's something God puts in your heart. Amen. There's things God's told me and God's taught me that you can't learn down at the university.
Amen.
That's right. You better believe that. He said, I can't talk. Wonder why he wanted to get out of it so bad. He can't talk. He's slow of speech. He's not an orator. I mean, I go down there and I'll make a mess of things. God and God got angry with him. He brought Aaron by, about killed him in the end. God, and he circumcises his boy and he gets down here. Amen. And that's the way we think, boy, everybody's going to listen to us. You know, when you go out to witness, everybody's going to listen to you. You know, when you all tell them about God and you get down there and he says, Pharaoh, let my people go, God said. Let the Israelites go. He says, who's God? I'm not going to listen to him. What do you think old Moses said? He said, I got to go talk to God. He went back out and talked to him. Took a 3-day journey. Went out and offered up offerings to God and talked to him. Said, Lord, that Pharaoh's a tough one. He's not going to let your people go. God says, go back and tell him this. And I'm going to tell you what we do sometimes. We give up. A lot of times when God commissions us to do something, we give up before we see the result. And I will say this tonight. I believe this in my heart. I believe that the most important thing as a Christian, I'm talking about as a Christian, is the time you spend with God. I believe that. I mean, I don't know where I'd be tonight if I hadn't found me a prayer place and a place to study the Word of God and read it and seek God and get some holy instruction from God. You say, I can go down to the church and I think we ought to be in the house of God. I mean, this is a strengthening place. This is where you hear the Word of God. This is where you fellowship. This is where, hey, God, you have a bond and an assembly together. But I'm going to tell you what, you better have more than this.
Yeah.
You better have a time with God yourself.
Yes.
You better learn them things. I've learned things, just me and God. On the backside of the desert. You say, did you go to college? No, I didn't. I'm not preaching against that tonight. I'm just telling you this. There's more to this thing than being taught of men. You better be taught of God. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. A lot of people think that that God is in a form. He's not in a form. God is not walking the way we walk. And he's not doing things the way you think he ought to do. And I want to say this tonight. God didn't do it the way Moses thought he'd do it. And a lot of times in our life, we wonder why God does it this way. But he knows the way I take, and he knows what to do. Now here's my problem, and I'm confessing my problem tonight. My problem is getting down and praying to God and wanting to see Him move in the situation. But then I'm wanting to choose how God does it. And why did God wait 40 years, I mean 40 years, before He ever appeared to Him again in that kind of power, as far as we know? You say, what you doing? Well, I'm just doing what I know to do. Watching my father-in-law's sheep. I thought you was going to be something for God. Hang on. What'd you do today, Moses? Watch Jethro's sheep on the backside of the desert. Been looking at that mountain of God, thinking about Jehovah. I've been learning some things about these sheep and this flock. Listen to me. That's right. Because, listen, he had that little old flock of Jethro's he was looking after. God was teaching him every day because he's going to have about 2 million Jews he's going to lead out. You ever thought about that? You go back in your life and you look at how God taught you some things in your life through things you wasn't thinking about at the time. This was a teaching of God, but He was setting you up to do something. And just like Moses, well, he was obedient. He was meek. Thank God. I mean, you think about that. Here's a man, thank God, that's been rescued by God out of the river brink, raised up by his own mom a little while, then in Pharaoh's house, had an opportunity at the throne, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rejected the treasures of Egypt. Thank God, I mean, fled from there down there on the backside of the desert, looking after a few old little sheep. And brother, he learned some things from that flock. Looking after that flock. Amen. And brother, I'm telling you what, he didn't know, but God did. As he left them flock out there by the desert, thank God he one day was going to lead all these Jews, thank God, out of Egypt and be their leader. I'm telling you, if you can't lead a little flock at first and lead your home at first and do what God says at first, I don't expect God to look to you to do anything bigger. Amen. You know what? Everybody won't start out big. You know what? I've asked this question. What's big to God? You say, wait a minute. He led 2 million Jews. What's big to God? Oh, he got a big church. What's big to God? That's right, brother. He fills the universe. He holds it in the hollow of his hand, son. Ain't nothing big to God. I mean, far as that. He don't say that's big and that's little. He did say, fear not, little flock. And I don't have many sheep Jethro had, but I will say this. Thank God he learned some things on the backside of the desert that would help him lead them Israelites because he likened unto them the sheep. Amen. And how they because sheep are dumb and they need a leader. And Brother Moses was going to get some training back there. Thank God he could lead the flock of God. And brother, I'm telling you this tonight. If you got to do anything for God, you got to learn first. And God got to teach you first before he ever put you in a position to lead some people. Amen. That's right, brother. Better believe that. You've got to be teachable. You look back in your life, God has you here. Has you here. I say, Brother Hyde, where did you first preach at? Well, first preaching a 10-minute message in a church on a Saturday night. Had a little preaching meeting. They said, you preach 10. I preached about 8. Yeah, where'd you preach? Got me a rest home ministry. All them's old people, they don't pay no attention to you. They're out there sitting there and they sleeping and they slobbering all over themselves and they got Alzheimer and it seemed like nobody would want to listen. And you say, you mean you can go down there? I mean, you could be in a church somewhere and all. You got to do them things, poor brother. You're gonna lead a flock. Amen. That's right. I went down there and we got that nursing home ministry in Spencer in 89. Before I ever come here, and I was preaching down there on Sunday afternoons, enjoying it, praise God, enjoying it. Seeing some people get some help, seeing some old saints of God get some life back in them. Amen. Get up there and preach. And some of them come to me, raise your arms. Old James Ivy, I told you about him. Thank God that old man chewed tobacco back there in the back. I thought, hey, back there chewing tobacco, less than me, kind of sitting back in his chair. One day I got stirred up in there preaching. He stood up and said, I just want to thank God I'm saved. That old man walked around there 10 minutes, Brother Todd preaching. He said, y'all need to repent. I said, amen. I tell him, Brother James, amen. He walked around there and preaching to them people in the rest home. He was a rest home man. Thank God he was staying there, brother. Amen. He said, I feel it in my bones is what he said. I got up and walked around that rest home. Thank God and preached a while. Amen. I tell you, that's why I cut my teeth. Hey, God didn't give me an uptown church or some big body of people. He said, go down to the rest home. Get on the backside of the desert a little while and learn some things. Amen. And when you learn some things, I might let you do something. Amen. That's right. Went up the mountains, preached church, looking for a pastor. I thought, maybe this is it. And I said, no, you ain't ready. You got to stay on the backside of the desert a while, son. Them people, they more advanced than you are. You need to learn some things. I said, man, I don't know as much as I thought I did. Y'all says, no, go back there and backside desert. Go down there and rest home. And he said, get down there and preach to them young people down there in them meetings, them preachers calling you and preach on the radio. And he said, you need to learn some things. You don't know as much as you think you do. You trying to be a deliverer and you're not a deliverer. He said, I'm gonna put you in a place, but you got to wait. You got to get back on the backside. Amen. I tell you, that's what you need. Amen. I mean, a lot of you boys and girls, a lot of them jumping up and saying, I'm gonna go do this and that. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what, you better get some learning before you do it. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right, isn't it? You need a BD degree. I lived on that, brother. 1986, God called me to preach. 1989, God called me here. I didn't know nothing, thought I did. Amen. Just knew to preach. That's all I want to do, preach. I mean, I like preaching. I just wanted to preach. Amen. I had the fire in me and wanted to preach, but I had to live in the backside of the desert a while. Amen. God started doing some things, and then I got scared because I wondered, hey, God, what was I going to do? I never had seen God doing these things. All I know is just doing these things on the backside of the desert missed me and God. And now He's doing some things and moving on people's hearts, people getting saved and getting some help of God. And I finally found out, God said, I'm the one that made you. Mouth, I'll speak to it. I'm the one, thank God, to tell you what to say, and I'll tell you where I want you to say it. If you'll listen to me, I'll take you somewhere. Hey, God knew the same thing with you. That you might lay on the backside of the desert a little while and wait on God. We're trying to push people when we need to wait on God. I think we ought to do everything God tells us to do in this book, and I think we ought to do it with diligence. But I don't think we ought to try to open a door that God don't want us to walk through. And I think that's what Moses was trying to do that day when he killed that Egyptian.
And God says, no, about take about 40 years watching a flock back on the backside of the desert. And he said, after 40 years, I'm going to come in that bush, son. I'm going to call you, and you can take 40 years leading a bunch of rebels. And you can pray for them, because you learned them sheep was dumb back there, and these people's going to be the same way. That's right. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. I'm a pastor of the church. You're members of the church. We all together. But the fact of it is, you learn, thank God, that people's people. The old theologian said up there at Brother Lockheed School, he said, two things I want to tell y'all fellas at pastor. Number one, people's people. Number two, people do wrong. That's right. But thank God for grace. And thank God for mercy. And thank God for God being our leader tonight, even unto death. But I'll tell you what, can I tell you this and I'm through? You better learn some things from God. Learn some things from God. Let God teach you. Be obedient to the Holy Ghost. If I'd have listened to God sooner on some things, I'd have been a whole lot better off.
Amen.
If I'd just listened to Him. Say, wait a minute, God's telling me this, and I need to follow this. But what I did was I listened to what I wanted to do and what men wanted to make me instead of what God made me and is making me. And I think there's counsel in the multitude, safety in a multitude of counselors, but at the same time, the most important counsel you ever get from the Holy Ghost that lives within you. That's where the counsel comes. I'm a man of God. I believe that if you ask me for counsel, I'll give you scriptural counsel. But I'm telling you what the help you'll get. If I give it to you, it's because the Holy Ghost give it to you too. And because I can say by experience, old Brother Robert, gray-headed man, thank God, 85 years old, he's been on the backside of the desert. Gray hairs right there, backside of the desert. That's right. You've learned some things in life. You learn from people that's been down the road, brother. And that's why old Moses could lead them children of Israel, because God taught him some things before he ever called him. Think about this. In your own life, in your own life, and in your own life, and in your own life, there was people God put in your life to teach you some things when you was a lost person that you would make application when you got saved that would help you in the walk of God. But I'm going to tell you what, you learn it, thank God, on the backside of the desert. Is that the kind of degree you got tonight? That fellow said, I'm a doctor. I said, are you? I'm a preacher. Brother Billy Mitchell said there were so many doctors there where he preached one time, he thought they was going to operate on him. And I'll tell you what you better have. You better have a backside of the desert degree. That's what you better have, a backside of the desert degree. Where you met with God, and God's taught you some things. He put some things in your heart, thank God, you can live with and help other people with. And you don't think you the top dog. You know it's by the grace of God. That's right. Let's stand tonight. Appreciate you hearing the Word of God.